So we're doing a recording of an article. The article is entitled An Incorruptible Seed, and the text that it's taken from is 1 Peter, and that would be the first chapter in verse 23, and there it states, having been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed, through the word of God, which lives and remains forever. So let us speak about incorruptibility. None of us have ever known incorruptibility. Of course, we've heard of it, and mostly we've heard of it from our Bibles. We accept that God and Jesus Christ are both incorruptible. Subsequently, it's not really a daily discussion, not even among Christians. For most of us, it's just a what would we call a concept, and we give not much thought to it. We have a general explanation that our religion has taught us, or somebody else about the subject. However, incorruptibility really is a big deal. It is such a big deal that without it, those that are born again cannot really overcome the world that they are told by Christ that they must overcome. 1 John chapter 5 and 4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, your faith. 1 John 5 and verse 5 continues, and there it states, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Our next subtitle says this: nothing of this world overcomes the world. That is a statement that the world cannot overcome the world. That is a true statement. No more so than water can overcome water, or yeast can overcome yeast. We must, as Christians, overcome this world. In fact, we must conquer it according to Jesus Christ. Revelation, the 6th chapter and verse 2, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bowl, and a crown was given him, and he came forth conquering and to conquer. However, if we are of the same substance as this world is, then we don't have any power to overcome this world. It is only an illusion that we have been taught that we can conquer the world by laws found written in God's word. But let's make this point clear right from the outset of this writing. That thought is a lie. If it were true, then God would not have needed to send his Son, Christ Jesus, to overcome the world and to complete the law of God he gave to Israel. Romans chapter 10 and verse 4 states this for us: for Christ is the fulfillment, brackets, or completion, or end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Our next subheading is entitled Corruption is Converse to Incorruption. We must understand as God's children, as Christians, which means our being in Christ, belonging to His ownership, purchased from this earth for God's glory, like a husband and a wife, a woman being one with her husband as one flesh before God. Thus, the children of God are one in spirit with Christ as Christ's headship over them, purchased by Christ's blood through the power of God's grace towards us. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11 then states, if anyone speaks, let it be as it were the very words of God. If anyone serves, let it be as of the strength which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and domination, dominion forever and ever, amen. And then we find at Romans chapter 1 and verse 6, among whom you are also called to belong to Christ. Galatians 5 and verse 24 tells us, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and lust. Christians must remember, all of this world has been created not by the incorruptible God Yahweh, but by corruption from sin. That would include us, from Adam's sin. Now, we're not here referring, and this is in brackets, to the new creation, but the old creation. All are perishing in corruption from sin, which leads, of course, to our physical death and the physical death of all mankind. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 states, by which He has granted to us His precious and exceedingly great promises, that through these you may become partakers of divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. So let's use an example to help illustrate the power of incorruptibility versus corruption. If there was somewhere on our earth a box containing God's incorruptibility, His life as the light, what would happen if a corruptible life, and that would be having sin in it, came into contact with that box? The corruptible life would perish, as much as darkness coming into contact with light perishes. The two do not coexist. They are conversed. They are opposed to each other. So 1 John chapter 1 and verse 18 states this, no one has seen God at any time. The one and only Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Obviously, being that we are corruptible in sin, how could we see God? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12 states, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God remains in us, and His love has been made perfect in us. So in other words, we'll put it this way, that the incorruptibility and corruptible are two actual different substances. Like humans are to the gases of our sun. Two different substances. You have one that's flesh, and you have one that are gases from our sun. We're not able to take a manned spaceship into the gases of the sun without our perishing. Now, we could, if we could change the spacecraft that we were in and ourselves into gases that will not be consumed by our sun's tremendous heat. The next subheading is two worlds and two substances. Many Christians find this truth of two substances, two worlds, offensive. Why? Because they want to make the one that they're living in, that's corruptible, what they build, what they accumulate in this life, their legacy, their history, into God's incorruptible world. John 3 and verse 33 then states, "He who comes from above is above, is above all things. He who is from the earth belongs, well, to the earth, and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all." John the 8th chapter and verse 23 then states, "He said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world," and this is Jesus speaking, "I am not of this world." John 19 and verse 11, Jesus answers, "You would have no power at all against me unless it were given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me to you has greater sin." This world and all of its desires are passing away. Each day, people that thought they had a long time on this earth have worked in making a lasting legacy face reality. Their world has perished. Their thoughts have perished. Their loves, their hates, their hopes, their jealousy, their ambition have perished. And they will never be no more under the sun of our earth. Their thoughts and their works on earth literally are everlastingly gone. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 6, where Solomon speaks, the wisest of all kings who pictured Jesus Christ before Christ came to this earth. He states in divine wisdom, also their love, their hatred, their envy has perished long ago. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Conversely, God's world, where he lives and exists, his world has not one thought of our sinful flesh dwelling in it or in him. Now just imagine that. Not one lie, not one brag, no competition, not one evil, not one sinful person. No human being can see God that will not perish in their own corruption. Nothing in God perishes. Absolutely nothing. The next subheading is called the lie. God is not. Now, listen to this truth, which is often the first time many Christians have ever even given a thought to it. God is not reforming corruption into incorruption. God is not lacking one thing good in his world or within himself. He needs nothing from mankind or their world to improve upon what is called the perfection of incorruptibility. That is why God cannot change or corrupt. Rather, it is humans that do that, not God or what he has created without sin. In other words, the old model that we all use, I'm working on improving or trying to find myself and to make changes one day at a time. Now, those thoughts, really think about this, does not exist with God. Those thoughts will perish in the presence of God's glory. So the idea that God is lessening himself into our humanness, into our weaknesses, to slowly lift us up, well, it's a lie. God cannot mix light into darkness, which means into incorruptibility. Can't happen. Cannot mix. God does not lessen incorruptibility. Anything lower than incorruptibility, if we are honest and we think about it, isn't incorruptibility at all. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 states, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 states, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness and iniquity? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? God must help the weaker, not the other way around. It is mankind's world that lacks in everything good and in righteousness. Mankind's world is subjected to futility. The word futility means vanity. And what is vanity? It is really an unreality, a self-styled importance that flatters us with untruths. Romans 8, verse 19 through 21, there states, for the creation waits with eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to vanity, not of its own will, that would be the human will, could be wicked spirit force as well. They didn't subject it to futility. But because of him who subjected it in hope. And why in hope? And why did God do that? That the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of decay into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. In other words, as much slanders, lies, corruption, and propaganda that humans and wicked spirit forces have spread about God throughout all the ages. None of it matters. It all perishes by God's incorruptibility. Not one genius, the greatest invention of humankind, or the destruction of our complete earth physically and morally affects God's incorruptibility. Mankind and wicked spirit forces in heavenly places affect others and themselves, bringing us and the world into more darkness and corruption. But never, not once, does it affect the God of incorruptibility. And that is why our lives, in reality, are but vanity. Nothing we do, or the work that we do in our corruptible state of sin, ever becomes incorruptible. Except in a delusioned mind, filled with false religious ideas and teachings, or by other humans that are dead, literally, to God. Here, thousands of years ago, approximately 3,000 years ago, the prophet Isaiah was faced with that reality of who he was and the people of Israel. And in chapter 40, which is a beautiful chapter, this is only going to be three verses taken from it, verse 6, 7, and 8. The voice of the one saying, cry. One said, well, what shall we cry? All flesh is like grass, and all its glory is like the flower of a field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because Yahweh breath or breathe, I'm going to do this right here, Yahweh's breath blows on it. Surely the people are like grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. The next subtitle is One Fountain of Life. There is only one fountain of life. There is only one that is good. There is only one source of life, which means in context to God's word, the Bible, the source of life means the source that feeds us life so we can stay alive forever. Something sinful humans that have not accepted Jesus Christ don't have. What it does not mean is to live forever in our human sin under corruption, which has been passed on to us by our forefather and mother, Adam and Eve, down to our parents and into us. The source of life for mankind thinks it can create some new drug to cure a fatal disease, or do something through a computer and make us live eternally. Those things are false. Life is not death to God. He's never in darkness. Or has he ever lacked any life in himself? Death to God are all the humans in this earth dying from sin. They are all dead to him. God is the source of life for us to live eternally. We must be within God's world and not our own. Not some religious world that we love or some governmental world that we may love that says it's representing God or even a business. Those things really are in darkness and they are dying. They will corrupt without constant attention to detail and bringing it back to its source. But still, even in that, it will corrupt, and the people that made those institutions, on the other hand, God doesn't deal with any of that. He's not constantly fighting to keep from corrupting. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 states, For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, your faith. 1 John 2 and verse 16, For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life isn't the Father's, but is the world's. 1 John 2 and verse 17 then states, The world is passing away with its lust, but he who does God's will remains forever. Our next subtitle is New is New and Old is Old. God is not recreating old into new. That's a myth. And it's also a lie. God is not adding to his incorruption. God is not adding to his incorruption. That is impossible. That is simply a human thought under sin that can't know God because we are subjected to vanity, to our human pride, to our human thinking. We believe we're far more important in this universe than we really are. God is complete. God is not lacking anything good. He is the only one that is good. He is literally all things. There's nothing beyond the perfection of his prettiness that mankind is able to add to God's life. Luke 18, verse 19, Jesus asked him, Why do you call me good? No one is a good except one, God. Our world is an illusion of life. It's not even close to the real life God wants us to have. Nothing of this world's thoughts or its feelings and desires will be found in God's new world for mankind. At Revelation, the 21st chapter, verse 1, and then we're going to read verse 5, and also verse 4, it states, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and the sea is no more. He who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. He said, Write. For these words of God are faithful and true. He will wipe away from them every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Neither will there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. The first things have passed away. New is not old, not even in our world. What is new is new, And what is old. God said, He has promised, which means those words cannot be corrupted, except in our own hearts, by our own corruption. But not God's word, which states, without a lie, He has created a new heaven and a new earth. But why? Because corruption cannot inherit incorruption. Now let me read that again. Because corruption cannot inherit incorruption. It is impossible for that to happen, as it is for incorruption to lie. God does not drag the corruption of death into life. No, God has defeated death by His own incorruption. God can't die, nor does He even have the feelings of death. That is why He is the perfect light. God does not need death for Himself to be incorruptible, nor does He need to understand pain and the sorrow of human death. Luke 20 and verse 38 says, Now He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all are alive in Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50 says, Now I say this, brothers, that flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. So please, let us think. Let us think in a new world. There will be no pain or sorrow. It will not be recalled. It will not be remembered, so that we can gain some insight. We don't need to understand humanity that has once been under sin. No, it's simple. That will not exist or come up into our minds or our hearts of any human living in that new heaven or the new earth. Those are but human thoughts under sickness and death, who are dying in darkness, that believe the more you understand about corruption of death and sin, the better you can battle it. That's not God's thinking at all. In fact, it can't be God's thinking, because He's incorruptible. He can't even entertain those thoughts. God does not understand death. He's light. God does not need to improve or improve Himself. Those are terms under death and sin that we are in, that we use. God, when He deals with that, conquers it. He conquers all corruption with life. He defeats it. He is light. And through the blood of Christ Jesus, He is going to set creation free by the suffering of His children while on earth. Romans 8, verse 17 and 19 tells us of that future time that we will experience, and this when this earth passes away and the heavens or heavens above it passes away. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed towards us. For the creation waits the eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Next subheading is, we must be made new. The ways of this world are not of God or in his thinking. It is in us, in mankind, and it's mostly confusing. It confuses us, particularly when we start reading God's word and then trying to apply the conditions, the substance of our world, which was created from corruption, which mostly just leads to more corruption, and yeast teachings from that corruption, creating darkness of sin in all of our members. And here's what the book of James, chapter 4, tells us about that condition that we're in. Where do wars and fights among you come from? Don't they come from your pleasure that wars in your members? You lust, you don't have, you kill, covet, and you can't obtain. You fight and you make war, you don't have. Because you don't ask. You don't ask and you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives. So that you may spend it for your pleasure. You adulteresses. I got to read that again. Excuse me. You adulterers and your adulteress. Don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scriptures say in vain? The spirit who lives in us yearns jealousy. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So we must understand as Christians that there is a body of death, which is our world. That body is in darkness, and all that are in that body are dying from corruption of sin. But there is also a body of life, God's new creation in Christ, where all are given the waters of life by God's eternal source of life, which would mean through Jesus Christ, by his redemptive blood. Revelation 22 and verse 1 states, he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And verse 17 of that same chapter states, the Spirit and the bride say, come. He who hears, let him say, come. He who thirsts, let him come. He who desires, let him take the water of life freely. But again, we must remember, there is nothing between light and darkness except lies of a shadowy land of death which is the lurking place of the demons. All of us, not by choice, were born into a world of death by the will of human power passed on to us by Adam. However, we cannot have a new life in Christ by any human power, because our human power is found in death, and in darkness it has no power with God, because He is light. He is incorruption, so our power under sin will and must perish before Him. Romans chapter 5 and verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those whose sin weren't like Adam's disobedience, who is a foreshadowing of Him who was to come. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Verse 45 of the same chapter, so also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit, and that would be Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, for I know that in me, this is Paul speaking, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For desire is present with me, but I don't find it doing that which is good. Only God is good, only one. The next subheading, we gain life by life, and light by light, and new by what is new. God must birth His children by His incorruptible seed, which is God's incorruptible seed, and that would be the person of Jesus Christ. That would be God's incorruptible seed. Christ died in our sins to take away our sins, but one time and for all time. Christ then was made into a spirit being, and or the very image of the incorruptible God Yahweh Himself. Christ being the first and only person in the universe, in the history of all God's creation, to receive the crown of incorruptibility. And there in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, the very first chapter, you read the whole thing in context, we're going to read four verses, gives us that beautiful, glorious day when Christ received that incorruptible after He was resurrected. God, having in the past spoke to fathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, has at the end of these days spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. His Son is the radiance of His glory, the very image of His substance. God's substance is incorruptibility, and now Christ's substance is incorruptibility. Not even the angels have that. And then Christ, then, because of being incorruptible, upholds all things by the power of His word. When he had by Himself made purification for our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majestic on high, having become so much better than the angels. He has inherited a more excellent name than they have. Thus, with that gift of incorruptibility, He is fit. He's at the perfection so that He can rule over all of God's things, all over all of God's creation, because like his father Yahweh or Jehovah, he cannot be corrupted. It is simply impossible. Like the Father, he lacks nothing in himself. He is now totally complete. He can't even be tempted. He has the power that will be exercised in perfect harmony with God, who is love. And also, he is the one, being that he is love, that created the perfect law of love. That would be who God is. You cannot separate the perfect law of love from God. He's not a politician. He doesn't say words. When he says the law of love, it means that is who he is, and he doesn't lie. Romans 13 and verse 8, 9, and 10 of that chapter gives us what love is. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, now remember, the commandments have been fulfilled by Christ. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not covet. And whatever other commandments there are, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not harm a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Christ will bring the fallen human race in sin and under law that condemns them back to God's perfect standards that Adam was under as our new father, which will be the law of love. The perfect law of love means without corruption and without sin. The next subheading is conquering the world. The world cannot be conquered by the world. We conquer this world by the power of an incorruptible seed. That is Jesus Christ in us. It requires a birthing from God where he plants Christ Jesus incorruptible life seed in us. Now the promise were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He doesn't say to seeds, that would be seed with an S on the end, brackets, as of many, but as one seed, to your seed. And that is Christ. The scriptures literally say, which is Christ. That taste of incorruptible spirit life is the witness of the power of Christ's life that overcomes all things of the world in us. Christ's own life is immortal. And that immortal life becomes our truth in spirit, because Christ is not fleshly anymore. That has been created in God's own image. And in doing so, defeats everything of this world. Christ has defeated death once for all times by his resurrection into incorruption. He conquered what holds this world in bondage, and that would be sin. That leads to death and darkness in all of us. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18 tells us, when I saw him, Apostle John speaking, he had been taken up into the spirit, not in the flesh. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. He laid his right hand on me, saying, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last, and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of death and of Hades. In brackets, Hades can also mean hell. So those that are given the seed of incorruptibility are then patterned after what Christ Jesus experienced on earth in his own flesh. They are hated and they are opposed by all this world because they stand as the destruction of Satan's world, which is alienated from God. So chapter 6 and verse 12 reminds us, for our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the world's rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Having that seed of righteousness, which is Christ Jesus' life in us, by the will of God and not by man's will, makes us Christ's righteousness, because we are made part of his body, and his body is righteous. It is also the light. Thus it must be hated by this world of darkness. So it makes our life in the flesh, still on earth, with the spirit of Christ, or life of Christ in us, no cakewalk. And this is not an illusion. This is not something that you're preparing for or something you read about. It is not an unreality. It is a violent war as wicked spirit forces using humans, rulership, and whatever attacks the pure light of God. Because it can attack us, but it cannot attack God, or those spirits would just perish. The light in us then destroys what this world's going to be, what this world's about, and what it has been built through by the human will, by the lust found in our fleshes for pleasures and all the other things that we think about and do daily as human beings. So we're going to read a few more scriptures here in conclusion. We're down to the end of this article. 1 John 12 and verse 40, he has blinded their eyes and he's hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes and perceive with their hearts and would turn, and I would heal them. That was John 12 and verse 40, and that was a quote from Isaiah's word at the 6th chapter and verse 10 of his letter. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the good news of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should not shine on them, or dawn on them, excuse me. Hebrews chapter 3, and verse 1 through 7 reminds us, therefore, holy brothers, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as also was Moses in all of his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Moses indeed was faithful in all of his house, as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were afterward to be spoken. but Christ as a faithful, as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the glory of our hope firm to the end. Therefore, even as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13 tells us, hold the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which is in Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5, who served a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, even as Moses warned by God when he was about to make the tabernacle, where he said, God said, see, you shall make everything according to the pattern that was shown to you on the mountain. So that completes this article, and the day that the article was completed is May 29th of 2022, and that was written by Daniel, a slave in Jesus Christ.